About 10 years ago, a young student came to Sinai Temple and asked if she could be a rabbinic intern. We said yes. And for 4 years, both when she was in school out here and when she was in school back in New York, she was our rabbinic intern. And when the time came to hire a new rabbi, we said to the committee in New York, we already know who we want to hire. And they said, no, you have to interview because we have really a wonderful selection of students and you shouldn't commit before you see who else is out there. And we said, we're happy to interview, but we're going to tell everyone who comes to the interview that we already know who we're going to hire. Which is exactly what happened. Everyone who came to the interview, we said, we're happy to interview you. Great to get to know you. We already know who we're going to hire. When the interviews were over, we offered soon-to-be Rabbi Guzik the job, and she accepted and came out here as the rabbi 6 years ago, and in 5 months got married. So now we had a problem. Because we knew that we had a bright and sparkling and wonderful rabbi whom everyone in the synagogue immediately loved. But she was married to a rabbi who was making the same impression in a synagogue far away, all the way in the valley, where, just to show you how old I am, he was the assistant rabbi to a rabbi who had once been my camper at Camp Ramah. I'm afraid so. And so Rabbi Sherman, working along with Rabbi Kamris at Shomrei Torah, was also making a tremendous impression on not only his congregation, but the Los Angeles community. Please come in and sit down. We're very informal here at Sinai. Don't worry about it. Seriously, find a seat, not a problem. As long as you're quiet when Rabbi Guzik and Rabbi Sherman are speaking. That's the only. So just to make my point, how many of you are here this morning from Shomrei Torah? Raise your hand, sure, right. There's the Kamris family in the back there. There you are. So we had the problem of two beloved rabbis in two separate places and married to one another. And it became clear after a certain amount of time that that was not a sustainable situation. And that's when we get to this morning's Haftarah. Because the Haftarah this morning from Hosea ends with something that he said at every wedding. Ve'erastich li le'olam. I betroth you to me forever. It's something that we say as we put on our tefillin in the morning, and that's because of its double significance. We're about to have the holiday of Shavuot, and according to the rabbis, it was at Sinai that the Jews and God became betrothed to one another, and the Torah is the ketubah. So if you really want to teach the sanctity of the relationship between the Jews and God, how better to do it than to find two people who said, Ve'erastich li le'olam, to one another. And for us here, the model of what Rabbis Guzik and Sherman share in their life is the model of what the Jewish people are supposed to share in our lives with God. They're two wonderful teachers of Torah, two wonderful children and parents, two treasured colleagues, two gifted rabbis, and two extraordinary human beings. How lucky we are to celebrate them and to be part of their community. And it's now my pleasure to call up the first of the two who will speak to us this morning. 10 years after she came to us and said, "Can I be an intern at Sinai Temple?" Our Rabbi Nicole Guzik.
I don't know how we get through this without crying. So, as you heard, I came to the realization as I was writing what I wanted to say this morning that I've been here for 10 years, basically a third of my life, which means you've seen me through it all, through all of the various stages, my summer internships, graduating rabbinical school, getting married right here on this very bima, and most recently sharing in our joys as we became parents to Annie and Zachary. And you've seen me through simchas and sorrows. You've embraced my parents and my siblings. And you remind me time and time again that you are my family. This morning is called my renewal. And you have to know what a gift that is. A renewal is a chance to look at your rabbinate. It's a chance for me to determine which pieces of my soul need reawakening, so that I can continue to be present and engaged with all of you in your lives, in the revisioning of this beautiful synagogue, and in my own growth as a rabbi here and in the greater community. So what does renewal look like? Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev shares a story. Once there was a beloved king whose court musicians played every single day before him. Every day, for many years, the musicians played with passion and zeal, and the king and the musicians developed a beautiful love for one another. But eventually, after many years of service, the musicians passed away. So their children were called forward into the king's court and asked to take their parents' place. Out of loyalty, the children came to play every morning. And while they understood the basic tunes, they didn't understand the hidden power of their instruments. And so they played with little enthusiasm. Each day, the king grew more frustrated. Each day, the children grew more frustrated. But after some time, the children found that the making of their own music kindled a fire deep within their souls that they never knew they could experience. And the king was moved. For the children's music, the music from deep within their soul, it was a music coming from a renewed spirit. So what is renewal? It is a reminder that there is a melody that sits within each one of our hearts, a melody that if not reawakened or reimagined, remains silenced or unheard. We may think it's too late to hear our own music, too late for us to reach a particular goal or aspire to a dream that we once imagined. But the Talmud reminds us that every single day, lechadesh ba, that a prayer is not considered a prayer unless we infuse something new into it. That we must constantly examine our own daily thoughts and actions and ask ourselves, what kind of addition, what kind of significance am I making in this world right now? Our inner music cannot remain stagnant. Our melodies can change the world and lift each other's souls to unparalleled heights if we do the work, if we renew our commitments, renew our hopes, renew our souls. In my first few summers here at Sinai, I lived in the Pico Robertson area. I didn't drive on Shabbat, so my parents would walk the 4 miles with me, usually very late on Friday night, to ensure that I would get home safely. And it was almost a ritual. As we would get closer to my apartment, my dad would say to me, "Is this your dream? Is this what you want?" And every time he asked that question, I just knew. Sinai Temple is the place that I feel most at home and yet most inspired to grow. It would be, and it is, the place that teaches me that together, rabbi and congregation, we will grow in our holiness. I am eternally indebted to Rabbi Wolpe for continually giving me the space, drive, and confidence to look within and rediscover the rabbi I am, the rabbi I want to be, and the melody I meant to offer this world. May each one of us find the music that sits within our hearts. Together, may we be renewed. Shabbat Shalom.
I met with Rabbi Wolpe for the first time. He asked me, "Well, what happens if you're both here and I have to decide who's going to give the sermon?" So today we get to share. Last week, our daughter Annie, who always sits very quietly in the corner every Shabbat, had a cut on her arm. Before she went to sleep, I'm going to call her Nicole right now, when Nicole put a little ointment on her arm, and she said, "Annie, I'm a nurse." She goes, "Mom, you're not a nurse, you're a rabbi." I couldn't help but asking, "Annie, what does a rabbi do?" Without hesitating, she said, "They talk." I thought that was great until I couldn't contain myself and I said, "Annie, what else do rabbis do?" And she didn't even blink an eye and she said, "Please stand up." Not a joke. I'm going to tell you a story of a rabbi's kid now that's not Annie, but actually myself. Because growing up, I also spent countless hours in a synagogue. And my mom always used to say, a synagogue is for two places. A synagogue is a place to pray, and a synagogue is a place to play. But as I got older, and believe me, I definitely played, and you can talk to friends who chipped teeth on the wall in our own synagogue when I received their dental bills. But as I got older and I watched my father in action, I began to look at my father's desk and it was often messy. And there were books there, and there were Judaic books and secular books and all the things that a rabbi has on his desk. There were also a pile of notes. And as a curious kid, I began to read those notes. Most of the time I could not read the handwriting they were written in. And I thought they were thank you notes until I began reading them over the years. And they were not thank you notes, but they were notes recognizing the moments of Kedushah, the moments of sacredness that a rabbi puts into a congregation's life. There were everything from births to death, to brises, to graduations, to installations, to renewals, to anniversaries. And over the 38 years in Syracuse, the pile kept going higher and higher. In our Torah reading this morning, Bamidbar, we've been talking a lot this morning about counting. And we learned that all of the tribes were counted, but most of the tribes were counted only if you were a 20-year-old male and above, eligible for military service. Except one tribe, the tribe of Levi. For the tribe of Levi, everyone was counted, even infants. So why was the tribe of Levi different? I'm going to explain in a story. It's a story of a man who once received a knock at the door, and when he opened the door, he realized that there was a rabbi standing in front of him, a rabbi that he did not know well. And so he saw a rabbi standing at his door. He went into the kitchen and got his checkup book and was about to make a donation. And the rabbi said, "Don't do that. I'm just here to say thank you." Thank you, you don't even know who I am. You've never seen me in my life. Let me explain, the rabbi said. About 20 years ago, when you were a young boy, I happened to be in your neighborhood. You were coming from a baseball game Friday afternoon. Your kippah was falling off your head every couple of steps, and I asked you what you were doing. You said you were running to the shul. You were running to Kabbalat Shabbat services, and you began to explain to me what you were learning in school about Shabbat and Chagim and the Parsha of the week. To you, it was simple. It was a way of life, a normal routine. But what I saw in that little young man was pure enthusiasm for everything Jewish. And so I made a note of your name, because at that moment I was searching. I was searching for the path that I was going to take. And then he told the man, you know, today I'm a rabbi. I teach Torah, but all these years I remembered that I needed to say thank you to that little boy who made such a difference in my life. Tribe of Levi consisted of teachers and mentors of the Jewish people. That is why each and every one of them was counted at any age. Because the Torah teaches us that we count teachers. One does not need to be a certain age. And while I have spent many hours outside my office engaging with this congregation this year, I'd like to tell you a little bit about what I have learned here at Sinai Temple. Last week, when a preschool child asked me, why can't we see God? That's what I've learned. I've learned from our fourth and fifth graders, as I've taught Trope in their classrooms, to watch for the first time in their life putting together the melody and the words as they read for the first time in the Sefer Torah. I learned from our men's club what it is to help Jews around the world as we dedicate Torahs to the Jews of Azerbaijan. I learned from our sisterhood how to perform Tikkun Olam both in the synagogue and in many communities around Los Angeles. I learned from our religious school students and stars what it is to put together a life within the synagogue and to take that life outside the synagogue. I learned from our Atid members and this amazing group of musicians that we have put together this year what it is to bring simcha, joy, into tefillah, into services like this morning. I learned from our clergy team of Rabbi Fruithandler and Cantor Feldman what it means to build a sacred community with a unified vision filled with many days of laughter together and song. And I learned from Rabbi Wolpe what it is to be a leader of the Jewish community in the 21st century. And I truly thank Rabbi Wolpe for envisioning this synagogue in a crazy way with a double rabbi family. And of course, I learned from a lady, Rabbi Guzik Nicole. It's no reason that she happens to be a bat levi, a daughter of a lady. Because as a lady, she teaches me what it is to be a parent, a spouse, a rabbi, and a friend. See, when I think back to those pile of notes on my father's desk, I understand something. I understood that those people were actually saying thank you. Thank you for counting me. Thank you for noticing me. And thank you for making a difference in our lives. And so when I became a rabbi, they didn't teach us this in rabbinical school. But I also started a pile of notes. For each day, I am truly grateful of the kedusha of sanctification that I find here, that each one of you have put into our lives, serving this congregation of Sinai Temple. I look forward for many, many days, months, and years ahead to continue not creating, but to be involved in your moments of kedusha, of sanctity and holiness. Shabbat Shalom.
Please rise. Adonai, our God and God of our ancestors, source of all blessing, we pray that these rabbis lead this congregation with the blessing of your spirit. Grant them a wise heart, candor in speech, the courage to act decisively, the strength to respond to every challenge with dignity. Give them a full measure of your compassion, that they may be the instrument of your ancient promise. V'natati lachem ro'im klibi, ro'echem de'av haskel. I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will nurture you with knowledge and complete you with understanding. And let us say,
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated.